Trust everyone has had a very profitable week observing this wonderful Feast of Unleavened Bread. Here we are on the seventh and last day of the feast. We've spent the past 7 days avoiding eating any leavened products, putting any leavening out if we happen to find some we might have missed prior to the beginning of these days. Yes, I have a story also, as I think many of you may. We're very familiar with God using leavening throughout the Scriptures as an allegory or representative of sin. We've already heard about that a little in the sermonette. But today we want to talk about something you might find unusual for this seventh-day message. We're going to talk about eating unleavened bread for 7 days, and why. Last day, we're going to talk about eating unleavened bread and why we eat it? Yes. And I have a reason for that. Why does God command us to eat this type of bread every day during this week? And it is commanded that we eat it each day during the feast. Now, there are those who try to make the argument that we are to eat unleavened bread when we might choose to eat bread during this 7 day period. But what does the Scripture say? We have to ensure that we are following God's instructions so that our understanding of what He is teaching us is complete. Our number one reason for doing everything that we do is because God instructs us to do it. And that's always a good place to start with any aspect of our lives. Striving to do what God tells us to do. Let's go back for a moment and let's make sure we understand God's instructions for what we should have been doing during these past 7 days. Now again, you might wonder, this is the last day of the feast, so why are we going back? It's too late. We've already done what we've done. But you know, what we have been learning from these days has to impact our lives from this day forward. So we need to make sure that we get what the emphasis of these days is all about. Maybe, just maybe, we're a little off on our understanding of the full meaning of these days. So we better make sure. Just what has been the focus, our focus, during these 7 days? More important, what is God's focus? As the sun sets this evening, you and I probably will have heard a number of messages about various themes associated with these days that we are to remember. For a lot of people, a heavy emphasis before and during these days was probably placed on the process and concept of de-leavening and avoiding leavening for the 7 day period. And yes, that is something that we are commanded to do, as we will also see today. But what about eating unleavened bread? When you take a step back, and sometimes I think that's important for us to do so we can see the wasp nest in front of us. Lesson learned. When we take a step back and we think about it, the way many of us have been taught to de-leaven, it's all about what? It's all about what we are doing. How we are getting rid of leavening. how we vacuum every nook and cranny of our homes and our cars, how we scour every label on everything in our refrigerator to find that little known chemical that's technically leavening, and to find deeper meaning each time a box of baking soda hides in plain sight. Or we find a pack of crackers in our purse, ladies, or in our cars. The spiritual parallel for this in the days leading up to Passover for many people is making a checklist, if you would, of everything that they've done wrong for the last year. I don't do that. I don't have enough paper to do that. But some people do. They want to see where they are falling short and how they can do better in the next year. And to look maybe at only the obvious places of sin. Well, the obvious sins are, well, they're obvious. It's those hidden sins that we must dig deep and eradicate from our lives. Those that have taken such a deep root within our being and are such a part of our character and our attitude and our actions that they're almost like pulling your own tooth. They're hard to get out. Now, none of that is wrong necessarily. But in doing so, we've made these holy days a time that symbolizes how we put sin out of our lives. And that's not something that we have the ability to do by ourselves. It's definitely not something we're going to do in a 7-day period. Now, we definitely have our part in putting sin out, but these days aren't about what we do. It can seem, if you think about it, to be a little hypocritical. We can unintentionally hijack the days of unleavened bread and make it into a time all about us and not a time about Christ and what He's made possible in our lives. We're going to look at that as we go along today. As I said, we are commanded to assemble on this holy day. That has to be understood. It has to be believed if we're going to worship God in the manner that He has commanded. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Mr. Pierowitz was there. Here in Leviticus 23, this is where God's holy days and commanded assemblies are listed. Let's go to Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 6, where we read the command to observe this particular feast. Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. Notice, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Anybody not understand what that says? 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The 7th day, the day we're on today, we're here today, shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Now, what is a holy convocation? It's simply a calling together. It's an assembly of people for a holy or sacred purpose. All of us have been called together on this day as an assembly of God's people to honor and worship Him. I counted 13 times. You can count if you want to. Maybe I missed one or two. In the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, 13 times where God commands this assembly. I think he means it. 9 in Exodus, 1 in Leviticus, 1 in Numbers, 2 in Deuteronomy. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn to each of these, but I'm going to read them. And you can note them down in your notes if you want to and look them up yourselves. First one, Exodus 12, verse 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. 16. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. Verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this same day I have brought you your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generation as an everlasting ordinance. 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days. Verse 19. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or a native of the land. Verse 20. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Exodus 13, verse 6. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Verse 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. Exodus 23, verse 15. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. 34, verse 18. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread as I commanded you in the appointed time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out of Egypt. Numbers 28, 17. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. And finally, Deuteronomy 16, verse 3 and 8. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a sacred assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. Did you happen to catch a common element in all of these verses? In these verses, God tells us, God commands us 12 times to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. God does say that if you eat bread during, it doesn't say that if you eat bread during these days, it must be unleavened. He could have easily expressed it that way if he wanted. Or he could have said, eat it for 3 days out of the seven. Or eat it every other day. No, God said, eat it 7 days. It was very clear that on each of those 7 days we are to eat unleavened bread. Now he puts it in various ways in these scriptures, but he keeps telling us, you shall, you must eat it. 12 times he tells us that. But there's a reason why we do. By contrast, in these same verses, he talks about putting leaven out or not eating leaven only 4 times. So which seems of greater importance in God's eyes? Putting the leaven out, or making sure that we eat only unleavened bread? It seems like almost 3-1, he favors making sure we eat unleavened bread for these 7 days. Think about it. If you are consciously eating unleavened bread, and that is paramount in your mind, I think it's less likely that you will mistakenly eat leavened bread during those 7 days. Have we done it? I have. Warren has. Yeah, we've all screwed up, made a mess, goofed up, done it. You know, every time we eat, though, or think about eating, the meaning of unleavened bread would be at the forefront of our minds, and we wouldn't make a mistake. It's when we allow our minds to get away from the meaning of eating unleavened bread that it opens the way for us to mess up. Exodus chapter 12. You know, God wanted his people to avoid leavened bread by removing the temptation. They were to remove leavening from their homes so there would be no temptation for them to eat leavened bread. Here in Exodus 12, let's read verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. And notice what he says. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. There was a severe penalty if someone ate leavened bread during this feast. The Hebrew here that is used for cut off can mean literally killed. Killed. So the eating of leavening during the 7 day feast could result in death. The leavened bread as such was a bread of death. See the connection? By contrast, the eating of unleavened bread ensured life. So it was a bread of life. I think the analogy becomes plain, which we're going to expand on in a bit. Notice what it says in verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generation as an everlasting ordinance. In his initial command for these days to be observed by Israel, by his people, God specifies that they, Israel, do this to commemorate something he was doing for them, freeing them from their slavery in Egypt. It was something that they couldn't do, would never be able to have done on their own. God had to do it for them. When we keep these days today, we are commemorating what God has done for us and is doing for us. Not something we can do or are doing ourselves. That is freeing us from the death penalty of transgressing his laws. We can't free ourselves from that penalty. Only God can. When we emphasize the eating of unleavened bread each of these 7 days, it's a reminder that we must daily repent and ingest Jesus Christ. Who is what? The living bread. Who is truly unleavened because he was without sin. John 6. It's almost impossible to speak on the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread without going to the book of John, because we spend so much in John on the Passover also. Here in John 6, you and I must remain in a relationship, a continual relationship with God. We could repent all day long, but without having Him in us and being able to apply His sacrifice to our sins, repentance would be pointless. John 6, we're going to read several scriptures here in the book of John, chapter 6, to make some very important points. John 6, starting in verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Verse 49. "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." In verse 56, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down, which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever." At the Passover, we partook of the unleavened bread and wine as God commanded, commemorating the covenant that we entered into at baptism, made possible by the wiping away of our sins through Christ's sacrifice. Then in the 7 days that follow, which we are ending today, we continue to take in unleavened bread each day because it pictures our continued commitment to abiding in Christ for the remainder of our physical lives and our need to have His Spirit renewed in each of us every single day. Every day. Matthew 6. Back to the book of Matthew. Now, most of you can probably quote these scriptures by heart because you learned them as a little child, as I did. Here in Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13, this is popularly known as the Lord's Prayer, and it's often recited by people without even realizing that every aspect of this prayer is of a spiritual nature. Did you ever think about that? Read it. Every aspect of it is spiritual in nature. It's not physical. Here in chapter 6, let's just read verse 11. Chapter 6, verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Spiritual? Absolutely. "Give us this day our daily bread." It's often said to imply our physical sustenance, Now, asking for our physical needs is not wrong when we are truly in need. But this scripture, when looked at in the spiritual sense, is referring to receiving our daily spiritual bread, which we see is what? Jesus Christ. So we're asking daily to be fed, to be provided with Jesus Christ. We are really asking to be fed spiritually by the life of Jesus Christ, who is the only source of true life, eternal life. The days of unleavened bread are about grace and hope and redemption. In spite of our unworthiness, it's not about beating ourselves up on how often we fail and trying to remove the sins ourselves, because we can't do it. It comes only by and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, in the scriptures, God uses a lot of food analogies. And you've heard it said, you are what you eat. It's the same, spiritually speaking. Pure unleavened bread only needs a few ingredients. Grain. Spiritually speaking, God talks about the harvest, the wave sheaf, the first fruits. It needs oil. And sometimes water. Water in Scripture represents God's Holy Spirit, the living water. And of course, a little salt. Salt is a purifier. Salt adds value and flavor. It causes thirst. Simple. Pure. Not got a lot of fluff. Not a lot of stuff added to it. You see, in ancient Israel, before all the chemical leavening agents that we have today, bread was normally leavened by how? Well, they would take a pinch of the previous batch of dough, put it in the new batch of dough to start the leavening process. And then they would just let the yeast in the air do its work over time. But without that pinch of leavened dough being added, the unleavened bread doesn't have a history. Has nothing from a former life. It is truly a new, pure lump. We are also supposed to be made completely new. All of our past and all of our sins were washed away at repentance. We have to be careful not to bring anything corrupting from our old way of life into our new. You see, leavening is an agent of change. That can be positive or it can be negative. While the changes caused by leavening start out really as invisible, they eventually become outwardly apparent if they're left unchecked. And they will continue to rise and grow and expand until something stops them. Even the tiniest pinch of leavened dough will fully permeate the new dough eventually, relentlessly spreading and searching for new unleavened areas to attach itself to. This so aptly describes the nature of sin in our lives, doesn't it? Mr. Scott read James 1. Let's turn back there again, because I think it's good to go to it again. Because James describes very clearly how sin enters into a man and ultimately overcomes a man. James 1, verse 14. He says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. And then he is enticed. He is allowed that leavening to enter. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It's a great analogy for sin. That's why leavening symbolizes sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A warning that Paul gave to the Corinthians, a warning you and I need to heed as well. How this process of sin entering our lives works. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Paul tells them, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, just a pinch of leaven, leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Verse 8, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness." That's the old life. That's what we were before. "But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The word translated sincerity here in the Greek means clearness or purity. You know, people try to complicate Jesus Christ. They try to complicate His instructions. They try to complicate the truth of God by putting their own layers, extra layers and requirements on God's law or into God's law. And then they wind up judging themselves and other people by their self-made requirements. But that is not what Christ came to institute. In fact, the only people that Christ shunned were the religious leaders who were what? Doing exactly that. Adding to God's law. Making God's law a straitjacket. A strictness that wasn't intended by God. Nor is that what the apostles carried on after His resurrection. Paul also warned the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:3 that he feared that somehow their minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that was in Jesus Christ. Simplicity there can be translated as singleness or purity. The true and pure unleavened bread you and I are to feed on is Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. It's not convoluted. It's not restrictive. John makes a connection in John 4:24 when he says, "God is spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." And then Christ ties it all together in John 14:6 when He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is only by and through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, that we have access to and are reconciled to the Father. There's no other way to get there except through the bread of life. We can go all the way back to the beginning for mankind there in the Garden of Eden. We spent a lot of sermon time over the past several months on the events that took place there in the garden. You recall that there were two special trees in the garden that had fruit that Adam and Eve could partake of. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God forbid them to eat of. The other was a tree of life which would have given them eternal life if they had chosen to eat its fruit. Sadly, they chose wrongly. But that tree of life symbolized the gift of eternal life that was being offered to them by their Creator. That Creator was the same person who several thousand years later came to this earth as a man, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who came to suffer and die in our stead for our sins, that you and I might now have access to eternal life in God's family. For Adam and Eve, eating the tree of life would have led to eternal life as members of God's eternal family. You and I are offered opportunity to feed on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, each and every day of our lives. We're not restricted in any way from doing that unless we restrict ourselves. When we feed on Jesus Christ, as we read in John 6, 51 and 58, we will live forever. We'll have eternal life. Revelation 22. When we daily feed on Jesus Christ, we will ultimately be given access to the fruit of the tree of life that will be in the midst of that glorious city, New Jerusalem. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. If we feed on the bread of life. Now, I'm in no way saying today that we shouldn't deleaven our homes, our houses. Certainly each individual should do what they feel God requires of them to do. I'm also not saying that we should literally, physically, eat unleavened bread every other day of the year. I like it enough, I could. We're looking at these days in a spiritual sense that God intends for us to understand, with His Holy Spirit working in our minds and hearts. But if intensive vacuuming and a checklist of personal sins, if that's the hallmark of the meaning for us during these spring holy days, we may be missing the point altogether. As we can see, God's emphasis for the days of unleavened bread is on what He provides for His people. What He has provided to us today is truly mind-blowing. He's given us a Savior who pays our debts and wipes away the death penalty of our sins, who makes it possible for us to come before God by giving us His Spirit, who ultimately offers us a chance for eternal life in His kingdom. As I noted to our text group this morning, of the two feast periods that contain 7 days, this is the only one that has a holy day at the beginning and at the end. It's bookend, if you would, by High Sabbath. The Feast of Tabernacles, which we also observe for 7 days, it only has a holy day at the beginning. Some interesting comments came back on that also. As we have noted today, Jesus Christ should be at the center of our observance of these days. In Scripture, Jesus Christ is identified as the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the author and finisher of our salvation. We could say that the first day of this feast marked the beginning of our spiritual journey. This last day of unleavened bread marks the completion of that journey. It marks the time when we will have come to the fullness of Jesus Christ, when we will have been eating Him to the full. A time when we will have allowed God to make us spiritually ready to enter His eternal family into His eternal kingdom. At sundown this evening, these days of unleavened bread will be over, and we will be going about our business, ordering pizza, repurchasing baking powder to make pancakes this coming week. But I hope this message will serve as a reminder of what our focus during these days should have been and should be throughout the coming year. Our focus shouldn't be solely on getting rid of sin, but on partaking of Jesus Christ and the fact that it is only through God's mercy and grace that this is even possible to begin with. Hopefully our minds will remain cognizant of the fact of the need to take in the unleavened bread of Jesus Christ every single day, and that it will extend beyond these 7 days, encompassing every remaining day of our physical lives.